Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
I love the banners. We need the banners in Horsham. We are the house of God, family of believers, and we are friends to the world. We're people of worship, the people of the word. Who's been enjoying going through 1 Corinthians? As a church at the moment, we're going through 1 Corinthians. Look happy as you do that, yeah? I know it's really challenging, some of it. And I'm just going to start with summarizing really the whole of chapter 10. And look, the Lord just highlighted something with me here, and we're going to put this script up on the back here. What I'm going to do is start, I'll just go with a flow now, so it appear, I don't want to be like going, you know, the Grand National was run the other day, and I don't want to be going like this around really, really, really quickly, but if I do flow quickly, it's just I want to get to the stuff at the end as well, and just give time for that. The guiding principle in this matter, this 1 Corinthians 10, 31, it's simple. Everything you do, including what you decide to eat or drink, Be sure to do it for the glory of God. Whatever we do for the glory of God. Colossians 3:17 has exactly the same sort of thought process and heart. Be sure that no matter what you say or do, just say to your neighbor, say or do,
you are able to do everything by the name of Jesus. Because you do what pleases him. And you do it.
God, the Father, because of all that you have received through him. I've bought a little visual aid with me today at my expense. I'm saving my other visual aid to the stuff going to do with the small group leaders, but here comes my visual aid. It's Gary's hat. Ephesians, can we have that scripture up, please? Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 7. This is great news for us. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Amen. Now, at one point, now just symbolically, we were covered in darkness, separated from God, separated from his purposes. Hat, right? But thou, God has destroyed the work of the enemy. Amen. Now, what God's happened is he's taken the lid off. Do you remember the stuff that Pastor Colin had done? He's taken the lid off.
In the sense for everything. And now, as we become believers,
he's poured in his life and his blessing into our lives. We are a holy people.
We're chosen.
We're a great thing. The thing about a teapot is it's not meant to just have tea in. What's the thing that you do with tea? You drink it. Or coffee for those or any other non-alcoholic beverage. I'll carry on reading here. His unchanging plan, this is absolutely great news. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family. By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this was his great pleasure. We're all adopted. Amen? But we're adopted into the greatest family on earth because we've got the greatest Father, we've got the greatest Son, and we have the greatest gift, which is the Holy Spirit in us. But we're adopted. But it's... So we praise God for his wonderful kindness. He has poured out on us. Now listen to this. He is
so rich in kindness.
He purchased our freedom, purchased our freedom through the blood of the Son, and our sins are forgiven. Amen. Get my hat back. We don't need to live in condemnation, fear, or anything like that. We don't need to live oppressed. We're not oppressed. We're loved. God has broken the power of all those things that oppress us. And he set us free to be a teapot or a coffee pot. Yeah, he set us free. He's made me holy. Just say to your neighbor, you're holy. Say it with passion and say it with love. You're holy. The message says in Ephesians, I love this, long ago, whole and holy by that love. You've been made whole and holy by that love today. It's worth thanking God for, amen? Isn't that wonderful? God's love is everlasting. His love is what motivated him to send Jesus to die on the cross. In fact, the greatest evidence of the love of God is the death of Christ on the cross. We want to see the evidence of love. Well, the evidence of love was displayed through what Jesus did on the cross. His love didn't just stay walking on the earth. Love placed himself willingly into the Father's purposes so that we could be free. So that everything that happened to Jesus, you know, what he did on the cross, he was crucified for us. He bore the punishment that we deserve, and he settled on us the nature of it. Because he wanted to make us a holy people. A holy people are a happy people. Amen. A holy people are filled with light and joy and peace. I need to bring my hat a little bit closer in case I keep wanting to use that. Stay there. Now, we use the word love so often and in so many ways, we tend to lose the focus of what it really means to love someone. You see, until we understand love from God's perspective, we will have an extremely difficult time reaching this world for Christ. I just want to just make a statement here. Because people don't really care about what you have to say, if they don't know that you care about them, that you love them. Romans 5, verse 9. This is the New Living Translation. It says, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's judgment. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his Son, listen to this, while we were still his enemies. Isn't that remarkable? While we were still his enemies, and we will certainly be delivered from the eternal punishment by his life. So when we were separated from God, when we were in complete darkness, see, God had us in mind. He chose us before the creation of the world. His purpose is, his love is, thing. God wants to every person. Amen. Seeing this place full of people, seeing the next auditorium full of people. The grace of God. You know, we're standing. You see, the most wonderful thing is our relationship with the Lord is we can't do anything without Christ. We can't do anything separated from him. You know the John 15 passage? I haven't got that at the moment. As we abide in that love, what does that look like? We're bringing our lives under submission to him, and we're allowing, just me representing the Lord, we're allowing the waterfall of God's love just to be poured in to this vessel. Not so that this vessel stays insular and inward looking, but that we can be poured out. But the greatest thing is we've got to keep abiding in that love. We've got to keep living in that love. Because the reality of that love, the power of that love, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't it so fantastic? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit, God in his wisdom, decided you couldn't do it in your own strength. Christ in you, the hope of glory. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Yeah. Every time you see Jesus in the Gospels, every time you see people that he encounters, yes, he gives the Pharisees a little bit of a tough time. That's a slight understatement there. But everyone he contacts, he looks through the eyes of love. He looks at them as human beings, created in the image of God for the glory of God, created by him, for him. He created them because he wanted to know them. What a wonderful Jesus that we have. That he created us human beings because God wanted us to live out our lives, to know him richly, to love him, to encounter him, to meet with him. Isn't that wonderful? What a privilege it is to be alive, to be a believer. See, Christ understands the word love. He knows what that word means. He knows the value of the word. He knows how to love. But you see, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the ability to supernaturally love. This is going to be very interesting today. I'll tell you why. Because when God pours his love out and pours his love in, you may find circumstances and people that come across your way that may need loving. Not in the reality of our human nature and love, but in the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit's love. We're not going to look at what we haven't got, although we're going to be confronted a little bit in a minute. Although we're not going to look at what we haven't got, we're going to look at what we have got. That every time we look at what we have got, we get excited. I get excited. Amen. You're allowed to smile. Smiling is okay on a Sunday morning, okay? It's all part of us showing what is on the inside is being expressed and coming out on the outside. It's true. You see, we want to reach the lost with the gospel, but to do so, to earn the right to be heard, we must show them we care. We must show them that we love them, not in the world's definition of love, but in God's definition of love. There's enough of the wrong stuff out there, but in God's definition of love. Just going to quickly go through these. 1 John 3:18, this is a new living translation. Well, this is challenging. Dear children, let us stop saying we love each other. Let us show it by our actions. Yeah? You've heard the words, but let's see what the reality of this love looks like. Now, look at the next bit. It's really challenging. It's okay to be challenged on Sunday morning. You're allowed to smile. It is by our actions that we know we are living in the truth. Whoa. It's by our actions. Wrong attitudes, wrong behavior, wrong thinking, it won't be displayed. If I think wrongly about someone or something, what are my actions going to be? They'll be negative. John 13:34-35, New Living Translation again. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love one another. Now, this is the miracle and the wonder of God's amazing gift. Because that love in us is a supernatural process, it's supernaturally charged with the person of the Holy Spirit, the ability of that love. Your love for another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. As Andrew said, That daisy, connected together, in a sense, relating to one another, but the hands that are reaching out. When the world sees the way that you love one another, it's like a magnet with, like filings. You know those magnetic things? You remember things as little when you used to move them around, had that magnet. It attracts. God's love is attractive. It's attractive because out in the world, we know, you only got to read the papers, out in the world it's judging people, it's being negative, but that's not what God's love is about. God's love is attractive. See, by the very nature of how you love one another, you know, how you love your neighbor, how you love your friends, how you love your work colleagues, the small groups that you're having to, you know, that sign up, that connection, the way that you love one another, is the world's going to, you know, look at that. You know, I love it at the crafts, you know, as you're going to do the crafts. That's wonderful, because you're going to bring people into the love of God. People, what are people attracted to? They're attracted to Christ in you, the hope of glory. If I could do one, because a small group in Horsham, it would be an astronomy small group, because I love astronomy and I've got a telescope. I'll stop there because I don't want to say anything more. But you see, it's what we carry in us. But how wonderful it is to do something that's really great and something that we really enjoy, as well as bring others into it, as well as show the love of God. So when you're in those groups and you bring others in and they see the way that you love one another, they're going to go, hang on a minute, that's a bit different to what's out there. Why is it different? Ta-da! Here comes the opportunity. Because I've got Jesus living in me. That's why it's different. It's because I've got saved, because I'm holy, because God has chosen me, God has called me, God has blessed me. I'm not saying that you beat everybody around the head with the Bible, you know, with the Bible in the wrong way. But you know, that's done in the context of relationship. I used this yesterday. I was doing a teaching day, no, teaching morning on domestic violence. Things what you do. And it was very challenging, but it was very positive, because we got to know how to love people. Here, and this is what I brought. I mentioned just this one phrase here. Love is a word that can only be properly defined in terms of action, attitude, and behavior. Sorry. His agape love is supernatural in origin. You can only define love in the terms of action, attitude, and behavior. Now we're going to, I'm going to run through, we're going now to 1 Corinthians 13. We're swinging into Wednesday's truth, okay? And I'm pulling from Wednesday's truth when we get to 1 Corinthians 13. I think it's Wednesday. And verse 4. Do you know what some of us could be thinking of being Christians for a while? Oh no, he's going to read the list. I certainly am going to read the list. It's for a purpose. This is the truth version. I love this way Pastor Connors translated this. These are the qualities of God, the love God gives us. His love in us enables us to be patient and kind. When motivated by this love, we do not envy others. Neither do we boast. Nor are we proud. God's love in us is not rude, not self-seeking. We're not roused to anger quickly, and we certainly do not keep a mental record of the wrongs others have committed. When God's love works through us, we take no delight in what he regards as evil. Rather, we rejoice in the truth that sets people free from evil. Those who truly love always protect others. They always trust. They're always full of hope. They always persevere regardless of circumstances. There's some faces that are looking a bit sad today. You don't need to be sad today after this. You need to understand the reality of that supernatural power that God has placed in you. What I love about this is love is expressed by supernatural responses. Paul has no room for the abstract theoretical definitions. Instead, what does he do? He wants us to know what love looks like when we see it. So what he does, he paints 15 separate traits of love. Yes, that's right. In the space of 4 short verses, Paul uses 15 verbs, all of which have love as their subject. Agape love acts, for love is an action, not an emotion. Amen? Love is an action, not an emotion. Now we're going to go through these. you ready? I might do a bit of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but we are going to go through these. Love is patient. Paul seems to be saying that love doesn't have a short fuse. For some of us, here we go. Oh, dear. It doesn't lose its temper easily. A person who exercises agape love does not lose patience with people. Love never says, I'll give you just one more chance. Love is patient. Loving people... Sorry, I'm going to take this off because it might be this that's doing it. Loving people are willing to tolerate the shortcomings of others because they know they have have faults too. Question: how patient has God been with you? Love is kind. Kindness, however, is not to be equated with giving it everyone what he or she wants. Sometimes love must be tough. Kindness may mean saying no to a spoiled child. Kindness may mean reporting a crime committed by a friend. Now listen to this. Kindness means to withhold what harms as well as give what heals. Love is kind. Remember Jesus said of his own heart, I'm gentle, I'm humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. Love is not jealous. It doesn't envy others. Jealousy implies being displeased with the success of others, yet true love desires the success of others. God desires our highest good. Amen. Love does not brag. It's not boastful. Love is not big-headed, but big-hearted. Yeah. It's not I, but Christ. See, when you and I boast on our own strength and abilities, what we are demonstrating basically our insecurity. God wants us to remain humble. We're not putting our confidence in ourselves, but upon the grace of God. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have it. Love is not arrogant or proud. Arrogance disrespects others and carries a disdain for others. God calls us to serve others and be grateful towards them. Why is that? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The next one's quite funny, really. It's not funny, but it is funny. Love isn't rude. What happens when someone cuts you up on the motorway or someone does something? I used to be with a guy up in Yorkshire, and bless him. I used to dread driving with him because he had this really big thing about his heart about people not using their indicators properly. And every time they didn't use, so I'm driving with him. We're going on mission ministry trips. Every time someone didn't use their indicator, he used to wind his window down. They're not an optional extra. They're not an optional extra. He just got irritated with everyone. And I was like, my head was in my, you know. Now listen. There were some Christians who seemed to take delight in being blunt, justifying it on the grounds of honesty. They will say, I'm just telling it like it is. You're going to hear this whether you like it or not, Andrew. But love doesn't always tell it like it is. It doesn't always verbalize all its thoughts, particularly if those thoughts don't build others up. You see, there is a graciousness in love. How do I know that? It goes back to the reality. We live out of our identity, not of what the world calls us. But what does the word say? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. If you know that you're holy by God's grace and dearly loved, God commands us in a sense. What does he command us? To clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We've got to do that. We can't live our Christian life living with old clothing. We're not living with the old clothing of negativity, condemnation, fear, or guilt. We've taken off the old clothing. We've been made new creations in Christ. And so we're holy and pure. Yeah? We've got to clothe ourselves. Love doesn't demand its own way. We live in a society in which is self-seeking and is not only tolerated, it's even advocated. You can go into any bookstore and pick up titles like Winning Through Intimidation, Looking Out for Number One, or Creative Aggression. Yeah, they're out there. Love is not possessive, demanding, stubborn, or dominating. Love does not insist on its own way. It's always willing to defer to others. 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, nobody, are you part of the nobodies? We're somebodies, but we're nobody. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Love, so they keep coming, don't they? Oh no, Gary, don't tell me anymore. I'm not want us to look at the negative. I want us to look at who actually we have inside us to enable us to love the reality of different situations and circumstances. Love is not irritable. Love is not provoked. Love is not Love is not provoked. Love is not given to emotional outbursts. Is not exasperated by petty things that annoy us. Love refuses to let someone else get under your skin. Have you ever got someone under your skin? Why, they've got under there somewhere. You didn't need to let them get under there. You just needed to forgive them in the first place. But you say they provoke me. It's not my fault. Yes, it is. We don't have to get irritated if we're exercising love. We had a great situation just a week or so ago when it was my daughter's 22nd. We're going through some tough stuff with my daughter at the moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I need all the love. Can you feel the love tonight? I need all that love at the moment. You know, she's 22 and you think, oh, but I won't say any more than that. We just need the love. And bless her, we had this party, you know, little family party for her. You know, when you do with a party, you save your best present till last. And we'd gone out, me and Rachel, we'd chosen this really beautiful ring for her, and we really saw, you know, it was such a lovely ring. We made sure we got the right size so it fitted, and went to the shop and did all that kind of stuff. And then so here we are, we're all together, and we're enjoying. You know, and we're saving the best till last. You know, me and Rachel, we were like, it's coming, it's really coming, wait for it, Sarah. You know, we want to give, don't we? Giving, I love Christmas, but we can give all year round. Giving is an expression of the nature of love of God. What happened is, so we're waiting for the moment. There, she's opening the box, she opens it, and the ring's not there. It's not there. So bearing mind, God's been speaking to me about love, okay? So bear in mind, because it's a complicated story, that I have to get my 81-year-old mother with Rachel in the car park back to Crawley. Me and Mum sit in the Crawley car park for 3/4 hour while Rachel goes down to the shop. So we phone up the shop, you know what I mean, and the person that she gave us the ring wasn't there, but if you come down, we'll give it, you know, make sure you have it. There was no apology, okay? So we walked in the shop. Rachel walked in, and she said, first thing she said, you picked up the wrong box. We didn't, because we had the box with the receipt and everything. And every bit in Rachel wanted to go, woo! See, but love doesn't do that. Why? Why was that so important? Because, you see, if we'd behave like that, and we'd seen her again, that shopkeeper again, and they saw us and the way that we behaved, they'd go, well, that's not Christianity. I'm not looking at that. If that's what Christianity is about. So Rachel was like, gracious, 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 ring in the box.
you know, and I'm sorry, I lost it. I'm in the car. Steam is coming out of my ears in the car. I'm back with my mum, and I'm sort of going, I'm sitting with my mum. I'm looking on the inside of a Crawley car park for three quarters of an hour with my mum, because we did take the wheelchair with her. And I'm like, getting more and more steamed up, more and more. But you see, love is not irritable. Okay. Love keeps no record of when it's wronged. Paul uses the normal word here for bookkeeping. Love does not keep a ledger of evil deeds. It doesn't write down each injury done and keep the account open to be settled someday. I know some people who are accomplished bookkeepers in regard to injuries sustained. They write down the ledger. Love doesn't hang on to the reminders of wrongs. Who are you keeping a book on? Are there some ledgers you need to go home and toss into the fire? What does the word say? Bear with each other. Not big bear. Bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. What's God saying? Okay. When does prayer really stop in our life when we're walking in unforgiveness? What happens? What do? We put the lid back on. Until we forgive and get our relationship right with God, God's like, I'm not really going to hear you, Gary. He says it in his prayer, doesn't he? You want to come to me and pray, and you've got unforgiveness in your heart. Forgive that person, yeah? And I'll fill you again. But what blocks that is unforgiveness. We can't keep ledgers of wrongs of what people have done to us. I'm going to take it off because it doesn't belong there. Okay, I'll do this. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. There is something in our human nature which causes our attention to be drawn towards murder trials, natural disasters, and human tragedies. Love is not like that. Love takes no joy in evil of any kind. It takes no malicious pleasure when it hears the inadequacies, mistakes, and sins of somewhere else. Love is righteous. Finally, brothers, this is from Philippians. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Love rejoices with the truth. Just listen to this. If an action does not conform to the truth of God's word, it can't be done in love. Truth and love go together like hand in a glove. I'm going back to the first scripture here. Whatever we do, in word or deed, we do it unto the Lord. See, truth and love have to go hand in hand together. They have to go. Love always protects others. This is 1 Peter 4, verse 8. It's not up on the screen. It says that love covers a multitude of sins. That is precisely the meaning here. Love protects others. It doesn't broadcast bad news. It goes the second mile to protect another person's reputation. Love doesn't nitpick. It doesn't point out every flaw of the ones you love. Second, love doesn't criticize in public. Now listen to this. There are many times in my life where I've been sorry I opened my mouth. But there's never been a time when I've been sorry I kept silent. There have been many times that I've been sorry that I've said the wrong thing, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. But there's never been a time when I haven't been sorry, where I've just listened to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going, don't say anything, just forgive, just let go. Love believes all things. Love is always ready to allow for extenuated circumstances, to give another person the benefit of the doubt. To believe the best about people is believing the best and not the worst about people. I'm currently working with a couple that I've been working with for 20 years. They've had some stuff. They've had some problems. But I still believe the call on their life. I still love them. That's not empty words. I've seen them hurt one another consistently. I've seen them do things to each other that would break your heart. God hasn't given up on them. Because we carry that love. Me and Rachel have got such love for this couple because
We just don't want to look at the potential in people. We want to see that reality birthed in people. It's not about potential. You know, potential, we've got all got potential, but it's the reality of that. Love hopes all things. Paul is not here advocating unreasoned optimism, which fails to take into account of reality, nor is he teaching the power of positive thinking, but he is suggesting that love refuses to take failure as final, either in oneself or in someone else. Love never gives up on people. And the reason the believer can take such an attitude as this is that God is in the business of taking human failures and producing spiritual giants out of them. He chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. See, part of my situation in weakness is that there's a dyslexic thing that I actually have to overcome. I'm not owning it as a brain thing, but I've had to overcome. It's not part of my identity, but I've had to work really hard. But you see, he chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He chose the things that the world looks at, you know, and says, you're nothing. You're not nothing. You've got Christ in you. Always hoping doesn't mean we sit back and just watch God do his thing. Rather, it means that we're actively involved in the process as he molds the future according to his perfect plan. Love hopes and expects the best. Love never loses faith in other people and gives up on them, but remain faithful to them in spite of their shortcomings. I'm just going to take 5 more minutes now, okay? If you just bear with me for 5 minutes, before we finish, because I know we're a little bit over. Love endures all things. The word endures is a military term that means to hold a position at all costs, even unto death, whatever it takes. Now, the battle may be lost in the situation, but the soldier keeps on fighting to the very end. So love holds fast to people it loves. It perseveres. It never gives up on anyone. Love won't stop loving, even in the face of rejection. That's challenging. But you can't do that. You can't do that in the natural. Love takes action to shake up an intolerable situation. Love looks beyond the present to the hope of what might be in the future. And I'm going to finish just on these two scriptures here. Romans 5, verse 5. Such love does not end in disappointment, because God has already filled our hearts with his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us to live within us. And as Andrew said, the scripture isn't on there. Galatians 5, verse 6. All that matters that you live a life of faith that expressed in a life of love for God and others. But only faith activated and energized and expressed in working through love. That's what the Amplified says. Our love isn't going to be inward looking, like when we got round in the circle and had that holy huddle. Our love is going to be like that, Daisy. Because we're connected to one another. The love of God compels us to touch people. If there are some situations today that you guys have done, anybody walking in unforgiveness, there's a situation in your family or whatever, it's time to take the lid off. It's time to forgive. See, God wants to see the reality in our lives and the reality in our relationships. Yeah. Okay, should we stand together? Can I have the band up, please? Okay. I just want us to lift our hands to him now. God wants to pour out his love in abundance. God wants to baptize everybody afresh today with that love. Perfect love casts out all fear. If there's anybody that's in fear of anything today, God's love is going to drive that fear out by the power of the truth. Amen. God wants to release. If there's anybody that needs healing today, you see that the reality of that healing is the gift of love being expressed, because what God wants to do is to set that person free because he loves them. He wants the best for them. Every action that God does in our lives is done through love, not condemnation.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.